I was at the Magoobies last week for the murder mystery show, and as you guys know from the Rob and Joe show, there was a big thing about Penis Gate, where I had a leotard that I shoved a fake penis into, and it dangled around. There was much controversy. So, faced with our second run of the show this time, it was explicitly told, please don't put the penis out. Please don't put the penis out. Please don't put the penis out. So, what I did was this time, because last time, truthfully, I didn't want it to happen. It just kind of jangled its way into that thing. So what I did was take a roll of napkins and I tucked it into the tube. So I pushed it inward like a kangaroo pouch.
Much like
almost.
Your real penis is into your fat.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Like Bruce Willis's head.
Yes, exactly. So I shoved that inwards underneath it. And I did my whole spiel where I come out and I do my number in the leotard. And as Justin comes over to put his arm around me, I was like, you know, I'm so hot. I went and pulled the napkin out of the penis place right there and then used it to wipe my head like that, completely unready. And then I shoved it back in. And I was like, it's all me. That's all me.
Was there a certain, should I say, of a certain bent of a black person that gave you a comment after the show?
Dude, there was a... There was a young black man whose name I didn't catch who came up to me and he shook everybody's hand and I was kind of the last in line after the show. And he was like, man, you a motherfucking show stealer, man. What the fuck, man? These motherfuckers are doing jokes and you got to come out here and be stealing the show and shit, man. What the fuck, man? Fuck, man.
There's a t-shirt right there. Motherfucking show stealer.
Oh, good times. Good times.
Oh, ain't we lucky we got him. Party time, video games, all the bills, comedy and bitches. Party time, video games, all the bills, comedy. The band Foreigner.
Yeah, we've been 90 days into this Trump administration.
God damn it, if we can't get rid of Foreigner, how are we supposed to get rid of immigrants?
Welcome to Quality Time, another stunning episode. I think it's episode 31 or something like that.
I forgot after episode 5. I just sleep in the corner during most of them.
It's been an exciting week. Eric Woodworth here, joined by the ever lovely Jeremy Woodworth on this Easter Sunday.
Hi, everybody. I'm over here. You can go back to Vietnam.
That's right. I'm on camera right now. Which camera do I look at? Is it camera 1 or camera 2?
Just keep staring right down the barrel of that gun where it belongs.
Okay. That's the way my dad taught me.
Yeah, Jeremy.
You work the trigger with your big pinky toe.
Wow, that was aggressive.
That's called making money, kid. Making money when you're young while you're still supple and sexy for old men.
You know, being sexy for old men is an important part of the equation.
You know what they say at NAMBLA? All the kids go downhill from age 7.
Oh, no.
That's your pinnacle point. Age 7.
So, Jeremy and I have had a, quite an eventful
week. I'll come
week.
Back into the interview. Vietnam Tom, I think, wants to go take a smoke somewhere. So.
Vietnam Tom is an
I'm
aggressive
back. I'm
one.
Back. I'm back in the interview process.
We were listening. We just came back from listening to a wonderful interview by Glenn Danzig, where he was being a dick. Spoiler alert. It was good. I noticed that Glenn Danzig looks a lot like Sigourney Weaver. Is that weird?
I think you're supposed to pronounce it Sigourney.
Sigourney.
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
So.
Come here, Jeremy, this is a complete side note and just popped into my head. Uh-oh. But You know, when you have a child and you look at the beauty of a child coming out and you
out of
see
the vagina?
That, yeah, and you see like the beauty of like new life and just the newness and the perfectness of this unscarred, unscathed baby. And then you look at that baby and think, your name's going to be Sigourney. You've already given a disadvantage to your child.
Well, you know, you're supposed to name your kid something responsible, like either Aryan Nation or Adolf Hitler. So
yes. So. Well, I loved the series Alien Nation. That's actually what I meant to write down.
It's always that coin flip between Adolf Eichmann or Adolf Hitler. Hard. At least it's still Adolf. So
the one thing I never got about the show Alien Nation, because if you guys don't remember, Alien Nation was a wonderful show from the 90s about aliens that just lived among us and traveled, you know, thousands and thousands of light years to be here so they could just be regular beat cops and deal with today's technology.
You know what they really were?
What's that?
The whole show was about how they were space Jews.
Space Jews.
And how they were taken over by their space Nazis and they escaped and they were really space Jews.
Hey, man, you gotta love the space Jews, you know? It's an important part of the process. So
back to Hitler. Back to Hitler, of course. You know what my favorite kind of bread is?
White.
The whitest you can get. Adolf Hitler bread.
Adolf
with
Hitler
a name
bread.
Like Adolf, you know it's pure.
You know it's
pure white. The whitest flour you can use in bread.
Jewish rye need not apply.
Never overcooked.
Well, that was neat. I'm glad we added that into it.
Thank you for that extra hate tonight. You know, we put a little extra hate in every episode. I was serious about the Alien Nation thing because, of course, they were a downtrodden race in space being enslaved by their other space people. So,
well, hey, you know, everybody's got to have a hobby.
I don't think Alien... I think Alien Nation was a better name than Space Juice.
Space Juice.
Tonight on Space Juice. Oi, we're in another planet. We're still being downtrodden.
You know, Adolf.
Thank you. That was my Jewish impersonation. Adolf, even more hate. And write your letters to Eric Woodward. So.
Adolf, we've really been looking at this movie idea, and we think it'd be great as a show. If you're comfortable, though, we'd like to make a couple changes. So instead of Jews, can we replace the word Jews with aliens? Okay, yeah, I guess so. You know, we just don't want to blatantly slap people in the face with this thing. Now, instead of Manischewitz, can we replace that with sour milk?
Yes.
Because the Jews are always drinking that sour milk. Anyway.
Okay, next. Nothing uncomfortable there. No.
We had another murder mystery this week.
And today is Passover.
It is. It is Passover.
We don't believe in that Ishtar, you know, goddess of whatever.
Goddess of bulls.
So, but we do like to go to strip clubs and drop an opal or a drachma. So,
oh, yeah. We'll get to that. Jeremy, Thursday night, we had another Die Laughing Productions murder mystery back to the 80s, debuted at Magoobie's Joke House, one of our go-to clubs here in the Maryland area. Me, Justin Schlegel, Tommy Simbazo, Kimberly Ambrose, and others, Joe Robinson, Rob Mayer, all put on a great show. I got one good story from this, all right? So, as we're walking up, Justin Schlegel is, of course, a huge star in the Baltimore area. He's on 98 Rock. A gentleman sees him, and I'm walking in with Justin, sees him and immediately beelines it over across the parking lot like, hey, is that your Marty McFly outfit? Because he's carrying his Marty McFly. He's got, like, a vest and, you know, this shirt to go underneath it. And he's like, yeah, that's my Marty McFly shirt. So then He's like, check this out. And the guy unzips his hoodie and then shows us his Back to the Future 2 shirt. Not one, not three, but Back to the Future Part 2. And he's like, oh, man, that's great. And I looked him dead in the eye. I was just like, hey, have you ever seen that movie? And he's like, what movie? Back to the Future Part 2. Have you ever seen it? And he stopped for a second. He's like, yes, I've seen Back to the Future 2. It was pretty good. And Justin immediately lost it midway through. But yeah, that was my little fun joke before.
The best is when you wear a t-shirt of a movie or something and you've never seen it before. Like, hey, that's a great reanimated t-shirt. Have you ever seen it? No, I just wear it. It's a cool shirt, you know.
Well, people do that, though. People, that's a thing.
Yeah, like Miley Cyrus wearing a Metallica t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like she's actually listened to Metallica. So.
Or Avril Lavigne trying to sing Metallica and clearly has never heard a Metallica song in her life. So
I wear it just for the style.
There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, I also wear a Neil Sedaka shirt, but nobody questions me. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
You know what you got of a dose of for the first time this week?
What's that?
Big old dose of Gene Autry.
Gene Autry.
Hells
so,
yeah.
Friday night, my dear brother, my sweet, sweet child brother, man child extraordinaire, took me, it was our personal chauffeur for my buddy Greg's bachelor party.
Paid chauffeur, very well.
Paid chauffeur.
Almost better than my real job.
Hey, you know, we try to please. Putting up with our bullshit for one night is all we ask.
You know, the more famous you get, the more I'm ready to just be your true manservant. So,
What
the hell was that?
I think it was the dog escaping.
Oh, thank God.
Sorry, the dog escaped to the upstairs room of the studio here.
The studio. Eric Woodworth Studios.
Eric Woodworth Studios 4000. Bum, bum, bum.
We've invested at least $20 into this studio.
$16.
But if we get like little microphone covers, that's going to be another $2.
Whoa. Please don't be such a diva, pal. So yeah, Jeremy drove us around as our personal chauffeur.
Did you say chauffeur?
David Chauffeur, yes.
He's personal chauffeur.
He is driving us around and went to the Soundgarden in Baltimore, which is a world famous record store where you can almost get anything. Everything that you went and looked for was completely unavailable.
They did not have. I really was looking for the non-regular DVDs. They only had two different kinds of Iron Maiden CDs. One was Killers and the other was Number of the Beast. And the prices were okay, but the prices on the Blu-rays and DVDs were pretty good.
Oh yeah, hot deals. So what did you go in there with your idea? Like you wanted three things, and what three things didn't they have, Jeremy?
I wanted six DVDs, which I'm gonna have to get online. My number one would have to be my Carrie Fisher favorite, Under the Rainbow, starring a shitload of midgets in that movie, which I've been trying to see for years and haven't seen it in probably at least 30 years now.
Under the Rainbow?
Under the Rainbow, starring, who was that midget? Gosh, I wish I knew his name off the top of my head. My list is coming up in 10 seconds. Okay. Okay, so Under the Rainbow, they didn't even have the man who would be king. Gosh. Which is a great Sean Connery film with what's his name? The butler from the new Batmans.
Gregory
Michael
Peck.
Michael Caine. Michael Caine, who's in every movie.
Michael Caine, look at me.
I know I was going out on a stretch trying to see The Reflecting Skin. I really wanted to get a copy of that.
Okay. Isn't the man who would be king? That's the guy who gets to become the king of like an African tribe because he burps and farts at the same time?
Okay, I'll go with that. Yeah, that's good.
Is that wrong
no,
or no?
That is
Am I
absolutely
off?
Wrong. It's a Rudyard Kipling story that actually made into a movie with Sean Connery and his buddy try to take over Uzbekistan or something, or one of those Uzbekistan movies countries where they play ball with their enemies' heads like polo. And after taking over the first city, somebody fires an arrow and it sticks in his chest, and there's no blood because it hit his like his cigarette case, and they think he's a god, so they make him a god. And they take him to like the head of wherever Alexander the Great took over, like how many thousands of years before. And they take him to the magic chamber where all of his goods are, and they like I've got diamonds that are like hand size inside there. It's like, oh look, here's another one. So, really great movie for not only Kane but also Sean Connery. So,
so you didn't have that.
Didn't have that.
They didn't have
the reflecting skin. My classic childhood movie, the Wildlife. They didn't have that either with Chris Penn.
Jeez.
They didn't have Pennies from Heaven. They didn't have Brainstorm. And they didn't have The Visitor, which I really didn't expect, which is another really bad John Huston movie where bald men are doing exercises on the tops of roofs. It's gosh awful. It's like a bad Star Wars takeoff / Excalibur, and it really made no sense whatsoever. It had a little girl, I think, like not from the actual movie Poltergeist, but kind of like her, where she just is really obnoxiously evil and says horrible things as part of her script, like "fuck off." You know, it's like this is a kid saying this.
Oh, Reflections of Evil.
No, it's called The Visitor. So,
oh, The Visitor, yeah. The Visitor.
Have you ever seen Reflections of Evil?
Yes, you made me watch it.
But they had, I think, part of that. But no, the reflecting skin. Skin. I
haven't seen The Reflecting Skin, no.
Oh, gosh, that is so awesome. That movie is a little kid where they start off the movie and they blow up a frog with a straw, so it's, like, completely inflated, and a woman walks up to it, and they literally hit it with a slingshot, and it explodes right in her face with blood.
Well, that sounds awesome, actually.
It's by far... I try to think of like one of the most disturbing movies I can, and that, and maybe Elf and Lied, and maybe Human Centipede 1 are probably the closest I can think. Yeah, I haven't seen Gummo yet, but
oh, I've seen Gummo. You don't have to tell me about Gummo. Is by the director of Kids. He also directed that film, and it is a very disturbing movie. Only movie I know where. A young lad has sex with a retarded woman. No, so.
I only watched a quarter of the Bolshevik film, the Bosnian film. Yeah.
Bosnian movie? Yeah. Or is it Chechenian film?
Yeah, the Chechenian film. So.
It's the Uzbekistan film.
Yeah, Uzbekistan film. So.
Turkey film.
Yeah, so. No, but the great thing about the reflecting skin, it actually has Viggo Mortensen way before the Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
so.
What's your favorite Viggo Mortensen movie?
By far, the reflecting skin. By
really?
Far, way by far. So.
Better, and I'm just going to throw this out here. Oh, I guess that's not him. Is it Matthew McConaughey who's in that? Who's in Texas Chainsaw 4?
Yeah, and Renee Zellweger.
I thought that was, for some reason, I thought that was Viggo Mortensen in that movie.
You know?
But maybe it is
Matthew
McConaughey.
You never see Viggo Mortensen and Matt McConaughey in the same room at the same time.
That is accurate.
So, you know.
How much better would Viggo or Matthew McConaughey have been as in Lord of the Rings? All right, what we're going to do right now is take down that Sauron and hey, Gandalf, right when we're in the thick of things, make sure you show up, all right?
Yeah, that's pretty
I good. Think that would be pretty good. It would have been a much better film overall.
And, yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
So you didn't get any of those movies, but no. What Jeremy did get was some CDs, right?
Yeah, I got a Gene Autry. Best of Gene Autry for $1.
And what, if you could let fans know, what exactly is Gene Autry for the listeners at large? And maybe I'll pull up a sample. We'll see if we get, you know, kicked off the air for even pulling this up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Gene Autry copyright going on out there. You know, a lot of hot, you know, CDs being mixed with Gene Autry.
Explain the music style of Gene Autry.
Oh, it's somewhere between either goth metal or
this is not accurate, or
the really black Swedish metal. Somewhere between there, I'm pretty sure that's what Gene Autry is. So,
All right, here's let's see if this will work here. Gene Autry back in the saddle again. This is probably his biggest hit?
Oh, commercials. God. Why can't everything be free?
All right, here's the big Gene Autry song right here.
Yeah, you know, the astronauts, they're always asking for some stupid song to be as a request. On the lowly chimps and weep, I'm back in the saddle again. Wait, are you sure this isn't Steven Tyler?
I'm not 100% sure.
It sounds like Steven Tyler. My old 44. Pretty soon, Joe Perry's going to come in any second now and do the slide guitar. Right. Back in
the saddle again. And I struck my wife. Okay, so you bought a Gene Autry CD, which actually, at least the album that we were listening to, had sounded more polka-y than
very
this.
Much.
And you were blasting it as we were hammer-timed being chauffeured around.
Yes, for that's what I put on for all good bachelor parties. They love Gene Autry. So.
It was, not going to lie, it was pretty good.
As everybody screamed for me to turn it on to some black music, so you whiteies.
Jeremy loves any song where the background noise is dustling, dustling, dustling,
dustling, dustling, dustling, millie, 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 please, oh, make it stop. Just a living hell.
I thought it was a fun time. Now, Jeremy, you in addition to all that, bought a Mastodon CD. Did you not?
I think I did. And I think I put it in my little bag of DVDs and tapes that I handed you to and asked you to put in either the glove box or in the little side holder in the door.
Which I didn't either, because it didn't fit in either place. So I just stuck it on the floor.
So you put it on the floor, and later I see that my CDs and my are spread out on the floor just after you got out of the car to go wherever you were going. And from that moment on, after the night, I started blaming you for the loss of my Mastodon CD. So
yes, the internal struggle of saying you were fucked up and you lost it. You were fucked
which
up.
I did not say.
But I could hear it in your voice.
But I wanted to say it.
I could hear it in your voice. He's fucking stoned, and he's fucking drunk, and he lost my CD.
I literally drove up to the spot where I dropped you off, and I looked on the ground like, is it on the ground? Maybe somebody picked it up. Maybe it's gone.
We got all the way home at the end of the night. It's about 3 a.m. I looked under the seat, and it was like, it's not here, man. And the whole time... On top of it, I am hitting Jeremy with little quibs like, listen, it's probably gone forever. So, you know. And, you know, it's probably lost. So you're never going to see it again.
And it was
Don't
on
worry.
Sale for $10, the new Mastodon.
So you got the new Mastodon CD for 10 bucks. It's gone. Nowhere to be found.
You know how many new CDs I buy every decade?
That one? That is probably it.
I am down to my age where I probably buy 3 new CDs per decade. So if I lose a CD that I just bought, it's a really big fucking deal to me. So.
I can understand that. Now, listen, it's frustrating to have something and then it be gone immediately.
Like I'll go to a yard sale and I'm like, oh my gosh. This is the new Blink 182 CD from 1992. I can buy this for $1 now. Wow, I've never had this before.
What's my age again?
So, that's how I buy CDs, because I, you know, versus most people, which get everything online for free and download it ever since Napster.
So
you know Napster, right?
Yeah, I know Napster.
No, nobody uses Napster. They use another site, which they always change the name every year to keep the cops away.
Keep old Johnny Law off my ass.
Copyright police.
Flash forward to the morning. Jeremy wakes me up, and we're ready to get into the rental van to go return it.
A very fine, fine vehicle, by the way.
A Dodge Caravan. No expense was spared
Chrysler.
For this.
I thought it was Chrysler.
No, it was
wasn't Dodge. Town and Country. Isn't that Chrysler?
It's a Dodge.
Dodge Chrysler.
It's a Dodge.
Dodge this, Dodge Town and Country.
This is a Dodge.
Okay. Leather
so
seats.
So leather interior, very luxurious.
And I think they were probably fold down, if not fold and just take right out.
You could fold them wherever the fuck you would make. You literally make the seats into a paper airplane.
Of course, I think I was
crane.
Almost too fat to get into the seats without like jumping from seat to seat. So.
Your labored breathing brought a bit of the luxuriousness down. Just a, not all of it, but just a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, that was a great story. We can just move on now. I think that was the end of the story. We talked about so, the van, and there's nothing else to it. So.
We wake up in the morning. We search the van again. Jeremy's getting real. I mean, did you hear something fall out? I was like, yeah, you know what? I was holding this bit of information this whole time. I was holding on to it because you know what? Nothing really perturbs me. And I asked Jeremy, and Jeremy does this thing like, you know, don't ever ask Jeremy the obvious because he's already gone over that in his head 20 fucking times. I was like, maybe it's in your pocket. And he's like, you think I fucking checked my pocket? You think I didn't fucking check my pocket? That's fine. Fucking, it's whatever. It's gone. It's fucking gone. Whatever. I'm not an idiot.
I just want to say, in my defense, I looked under my own seat and I looked between the console that was between the seats, which from the day before I had dropped my cell phone between before we even got anywhere.
So we drive to the gas station and then he's sitting there as I'm pumping gas.
What did you say to me?
If you find it in a super obvious place, I'm gonna punch you in the dick. Gonna punch you right in the dick because you're being an ass. And you're gonna deserve getting punched in the dick for this. So, we are at the gas station and I fill him up, and then we drive right up the street to the Enterprise rental car in Ellicott City. Great place, by the way. Definitely check out Enterprise rental car.
We were still at the gas station.
And Jeremy rolls down the window and he's like, all right, I don't want you to be mad at me. And I'm just like...
What was the first thing I said to you?
I don't remember the exact words. Please recap.
I said, okay, don't punch me. Don't punch me. So.
And Jeremy immediately produces the CD before my eyes. And where was it, Jeremy, this entire time that you're freaking out and blaming other people? Because immediately, Jeremy, when he loses something, he has the uncanny ability, and it's... I'll give him this. It's not all him. It's our dad who taught him this.
It's 99% my dad's DNA.
It's 99%.
To always blame someone else. And even when you do find it, I think his dad could find it by himself and would never... I think he would actually try to hide it rather than ever fess up or ever apologize.
Oh, no. Apologies are not in order if you find it.
You know, apologies are unmanly.
Yes, they are. They are very unmanly.
That is unmasculine to ever apologize for anything. Hence, my dad was very, very manly and very masculine.
So, Jeremy shows me the Don't Punch Me, and I found the CD. It was right here. And sitting in the visor the entire time, just sitting right there.
I remember I'd not drank anything of alcohol that night, being a chauffeur, being the responsible driver, and I said to myself, okay, when they don't want to listen to Gene Autry, I'm going to put the Mastodon in, and I can still just slip it in while I'm driving and everything, and I completely forgot about it.
I don't know why this reminded me of it, but years ago, a good friend of mine, Sean Laskowitz, who I talk about very frequently on the show, Sean and I were driving mom's old Ford Taurus, and mom used to keep her registration in like this stupid thing. It was like a thing that slipped on your visor, right? The sun visor. And it was like a clear thing that you put it in that, you know, would hold your registration. So if you ever got pulled over, your registration's right there. So I'm driving like 50, 60 miles per hour with the windows down, and it's real windy. And it just got fucking real windy and flappy, and I just watched the registration fly right out of the car window. And Sean L. was sitting next to me, and he looks at it, he's just like, was that the registration? I was like, that was awesome. I was like, you fucking dick, no, it's gone, right? So at the time, I am a wild pot-smoking teenager in high school, And, you know, the God honest truth is I'm completely dead sober. I was driving the car and it flew out the window. So I go home to tell mom about it, right? And this is probably like a month or two after I'd been arrested for getting busted for dope, having dope in my car years ago. Spoiler alert, juvenile record unleashed right there.
Such a bad boy.
Yeah, I got busted. I got pulled over and I had a little bit of weed in the car. Whatever. I got released to my parents.
I don't know. You being a rugby player and... But I definitely did more. I think I got away with a lot more than you did in
no,
my
I got,
10 years.
I got away with plenty, but it helped. We'll get into why that happened. But I go home to tell mom. I was like, Mom, I was driving the car, and you know, it just flew right out of the window. She goes, Why do you have to fucking lie to me? I was like, I'm not lying. Mother, it really flew out of the window. And do you realize how crazy that sounds, that your registration just flew out of the window? That you like, it's something like, I wish I was fucked up and I had to lie, but I didn't have to lie in that situation. I came true and I fessed up to it 100%, and then it wasn't good enough. It was just too outlandish to be believed.
That's just gold. Mother, questioned me this week.
Yeah.
Because I've had a rather large log in the backyard and needs to be chopped up. And she's
why
like,
are you shitting in the backyard?
It's just something for my fire pit, and I haven't chopped it up yet. And mother wants the house tidied for Easter, and she says, "When are you going to cut up that log?" And I'm like, "Well, when I fix the chainsaw." Well, when are you going to do that? Well, I need to fix this pole so that it'll actually work. And she's like, "Oh, I see. It'll happen never."
That's funny.
And I kind of wish, you know, I was in the funny mood where annoying her does make me laugh, but I was just too tired, and it just was more of an annoying thing than anything. Like, really? Really? And I cleaned the front so it doesn't look like total white trash house anymore. So,
but you didn't get the backyard mode, so now you're dead to her.
Yes, exactly. Well, at least I'm still alive. So
dead to her, but still alive.
You didn't sing to Grandma today, did you?
Nah, you know what? You know how much she remembers of that? Not a thing.
Hey.
So that's the important part.
Hey, you know, just even seeing her once in a while, you know. It's amazing that she's been alive this long.
Yeah, I went in on private time and said hi to Grandma.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I like drinking around her because, you know, I'm dead and in the pain for years now. So, you know, whatever she has left that just gets taken away almost every other day. And the fact that she wanted to get out of bed the other week, you know, and they don't want to let her out of bed because she has seizures.
You had a... Jeremy's talking about our grandmother who lives on a separate suite at my mom's house with a full-time nurse. Jeremy lives in the basement. Mom lives upstairs.
Not like a fake Texas chainsaw grandmother that's actually like, you know, like in Psycho House where she's been dead for years,
right,
sitting in a chair. So.
Well, this is the thing, and morbid as it may be, a lot of people ask me, like, I tell my grandmother, it's like, she's 91 years old, and she's like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. I was like, she's been ready to die for a long time, like every day for the last like 6 years, she's been ready to go. And so I get these calls from mom, and I remember about three. I play this game where whenever I get a call from mom, I'm like, it's either something like she's going to come over, or is this the call to tell me that grandma finally died? And I swear to God, every time my mom calls, I was like, well, this is it. This is the call where she says that grandma's dead. And it, when it's not, I'm like, man, another fucking day she made it, right? But she got, it gets to this point where, you know, I said goodbye to grandma a long time ago. So about, I'd say late 2016, it was before Christmas or so. Mom calls me up. She's like, you know, grandma's not really doing well, and we're not really sure if she's going to make it through the weekend. And you might want to come and say goodbye or do whatever you want to do. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to stay home. And she goes, and she's like, what do you mean? You're not going to come and say goodbye to grandma? I was like, Mom, I've said goodbye to grandma like 10 times. I was like, I've done it like 13, 14 times. She can go tomorrow. And you want to know how I'm going to feel? Exactly the same way I feel right now. I'm going to be sad and a little bit relieved that she's finally gone.
Now, the best thing is that with Grandpa is that Dad had to try to guilt me into even just being friendly and seeing him year after year because I had pariahed myself from my entire family because of Grandpa. So.
Yeah, Jeremy didn't get along with Grandpa very well because if you slight Jeremy Woodworth, consider yourself dead.
So the thing was, Dad would say on the regular, was like, this might be the last year you get to see Grandpa. I was like, yeah, I haven't wanted to see him for like 10 years now. Is this like something fucking new to me? I mean, come on. So there's only maybe one or two people that might be offended by listening to this, thank God. But, you know, I was to the point where I was like, I saw that how pitifully old he was and hadn't been losing his mind yet, but at the same time having to help him into his own bed because he was so frail and fragile, and I didn't have any bad feelings for him anymore. So, you know, but it was a little bit humbling, because it's like you harbor bad feelings for a person until they're so frail and so old and you're like, what's the point? You know,
just let it go. Let it go, man.
But he was an asshole to me. So, you know, it's not like I was just being a dick back, because my feelings were really fucking offended.
Yeah.
By what he fucking said to me. So
you were sincerely upset with him. That's fine.
And I didn't even tell people that when a person tells you that you're nothing, that's probably one of the most fucking offensive things that people can tell to you.
Wow.
You know?
My wife tells me that daily, so...
Right, right. And my wife does too, you know, and I take it, you know, when she tells me I'm a loser with a loser job, you know?
I always hearken back to one of my favorite grandma stories is grandma. We took grandma to a funeral of one of her friends named Mr. Tom Ernst, who's a pretty nice guy. I like Tom Ernst, who's a pretty stand up dude, even though he was a little bit frisky with our sisters. Okay,
would that be Richard Dawson frisky?
Let's just say he got a little touchy feely. With some of the Woodworth girls, and that I found out later in life, maybe he wasn't as nice a guy. Anyway, didn't actually diddle, just was creepy. Okay. So, we're looking at Mr.
He was the most friendly person in the world.
Hey, listen, he says some creepy stuff every once in a while, but you know what? I think you're allowed, when you get to be old man status, you're allowed to be kind of creepy. So, it's important. It's an important part of stage of my life. I'm going to be a creepy old man one day. I'm like, hey, you sure are a pretty girl. Like that. Like, I could, listen, I forgive him for that.
And then one charge, and then straight to the shotgun.
So.
Straight to the shotgun to the mouth.
We're at Mr. Tom Ernst's funeral, and Grandma, when she could still walk around, hobbles up there and takes a long pause, and she gets up to go say her goodbyes to the open casket, and she goes, well, not sure why the good Lord decided to take you today. tell the pastor, our grandfather, tell the pastor I said hello. See you soon. that's my grandma story. Like, I honestly, every time I talk to grandma, she just talks about how she can't wait to go, and I'm like, I want her to go. That's what she wants to do. I'm at this point now where, like, if we lived in a place like Seattle where you're allowed to, like, off yourself legally, dude, I'd mix up the fucking cocktail to put grandma down at this point. I mean, it's just, she doesn't do anything every day. If you want to go, you need to be able to go, dude. That's the way I see it.
You know, you got to do it the natural way, which is the most horribly painful, drawn-out way possible.
So. Yeah, dude. I mean, listen, if I get to... there should be, like, mercy-killing status, because watching... When you get to that point where it's just your lungs filling up with fluid as you slowly drown to death, it's fucking... Put me out, dude.
That never takes more than a couple days, but look...
A couple days of fucking slowly suffocating sounds horrible.
But no. Otherwise, you know, if society goes the other way, we should have killed that guy after he had... gotten his ass kicked off the United. He's just going, kill me.
Kill me.
Well, you just got your ass kicked. I guess we're going to kill you. I mean, you're at least 40-something or 50-something.
Oh,
so
man.
He was miserable. So.
If you're pretty much non-responsive and you hear my lungs filling up and all I can do is just go, and the death rattle is happening. When the death rattle is happening, people don't come back from fucking death rattle. You're dead.
No,
you're just fucking
don't.
Off me. You know, there's a whole point of that. Don't let me slowly drown. My worst fear is slowly drowning to death, which is how my dad died, and it was fucking horrible to watch.
Yes,
so
it was.
I don't. Yeah, I'd rather not experience that at all. It'd be. I'd much rather check out before that.
Just listening to it for an hour straight, and you're like, okay, this is pretty horrible,
dude. That's...
And you know, part of me wanted to like lift him up by his legs and like kind of drain his lungs. You know, if you're gonna die of fluid in your lungs, like really. Can you not die of fluid in your lungs and die of something else, you know?
Yeah, that's that point. Give me, you know what, Jeremy, if I get to that point, go buy me some heroin, all right? Just get me some heroin. I want to pump it up. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? What, are you going to kill me from fucking... I might as well die of a heroin overdose.
As if you're going to die before me, jeez.
Listen, you have that pickled sense about you that you've drank enough that most of your organs, I think, are well preserved. So, you know, I think you got a much better shot than I do.
I feel like a 60-year-old in a 45-year-old's body. So, you know, I don't kid around myself. So,
I don't know. I just think I think out of the two of us, you know, I'll do you, you do me, and then you know, on the other side.
And this has nothing to do with death. It's all about
and
sex.
And that's just blowing each other.
Well, now I feel vibrant and alive.
Have you seen Lemon Party? Okay.
No, but I'm feeling kind of curious tonight.
Oh, Jeremy,
curious.
You just Google search the word lemon party and then look at Google images and just watch what comes up.
Does this have anything to do with a Led Zeppelin song, the lemon song?
A lemon party is a picture of three old men that are super gay old men that are doing the most ungodly things to each other all at once. And
super gay and old.
It's two old men naked making out with each other while another guy is blowing them who's also equally old, and it's one of the worst pictures that you cannot get out of your brain after you see it.
Kind of makes sodomy seem kind of better.
Oh my gosh. So
rather see an uncircumcised dog dick than see old gay men. Might as well have sex with women.
So Jeremy, the new shit that's been happening out here, which will probably be still very relevant news by the time this drops, is there's a gentleman named Steve Stevens right now. He's on the loose in Cleveland. He's a 37-year-old black man who has fucking snapped and killed somebody on Facebook Live. Kills an elderly man of in his 70s. I believe he was like 79 years old. Shoots him in the face, and has been posting before his account got taken down. Facebook Live videos about him, about why he's doing it.
This is dumb.
And I have some of the audio here from this cat. All right,
man. This is a crazy stuff.
Hold on, let me go back to here. Here's him on Facebook Live talking about stuff.
Just call Jason or Gary and look at it, man. I can't talk to you right now, man. I fucked up, man. I'm at the point where I snap. See, the thing is, man, every time I try to talk to y'all motherfuckers, man, y'all will always fucking blow me off or just make my shit seem like it ain't shit. I got a lot of built-in anger and frustration, man. My name is Stevie Steve on there. Just go. Listen, man, I shamed the Force and the Perseverance, man. I shamed 4th District. I shamed Zeta Omega. And most importantly, I shamed myself. I just snapped, dog. I just killed 13 motherfuckers, man. That's what I did. I killed 13 people. And I'm about to keep killing until they catch me. Fuck.
Hey,
everybody, it's Murders Taylor.
Here's his here's his other Facebook Live feed. Other than the one where he actually murders somebody, which man, I watched and it's a tough watch to do. He quite literally gets out and guys, if you want to go watch it, I'm sure it's a couple clicks away. You can still see it. They're taking videos down and then posting them back up. But man, it's a tough watch. He just goes, "Yep, I found the next motherfucker I'm going to kill." And he's like, "Hey, do you know Joy Lane?" He's like, "I don't know Joy Lane, blah, blah, blah." And he's just like, "Well, it doesn't really matter." And he pulls out the gun. He's like, "Hey, man, whoa, 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 whoa." Boom, blasts him right in the fucking head. He's on a murderous killing spree right now. Supposedly lost his ass gambling in the last year. Has filed for bankruptcy. And, well, here's a little snippet of him also talking about Joy Lane, the supposed woman that the reason why he's doing all this.
This agency over here on 105, the love of my life works. Her name is Joy Lane. We've been together 3 years. We're supposed to get married, but it was just some bullshit that I just couldn't deal with her anymore. But anyway, she's the reason why I'm making this video. She's the reason why what's about to happen today, because she fucking drove me crazy. But, you know, anyway, I work at Beachbrook. And Beachbrook is another reason why I'm going crazy. So, it's my badge here. It's me. So, I'm just writing, making this to say, fuck Beachbrook and Murders Taylor. You know, past year's been really fucked up for me. You know, being with Joy, she drove me crazy. Started making me gamble. I lost everything. I lost everything I had, man. I don't have shit. I'm out of options. And now I'm just on some murder type shit. So what I'm gonna do is, because she works here at Murder Taylor, this is over in 105, I'm gonna try to kill as many people as I can over here. You know, so fuck Murders Taylor and fuck Joy Lane. And it's fucked up too, because you know, I never really been on no sucker shit like this. This is some sucker shit, you know, but we all human, man, you know, and I guess we all got breaking points. I went to my mother yesterday because I was trying to get some, you know, talk to my mother, but I guess it's the way I was raised. She didn't even give a fuck, man. I was telling my mother I was on some suicidal type shit and I'm about to kill some people. Didn't care. I don't know something about me, but it don't matter. You know, people would come to me with their problems. You know, I'm a case manager at Beachbrook. You know, I would deal with people's problems every day.
Beachbrook is for shit, children mental disorders. Like, so he talks to mentally disabled children.
No matter what the fuck I do, people always.
He didn't kill retarded kids, did he?
No,
you know, this is fucked up, man, because, you know, innocent people about to die today. Hopefully, I'm going to try to kill as many people as I can, be on death row, or whatever the case may be. But the people that I'm going to kill today is Easter Sunday. It's not my first. I got a few people that's over here off of the street is 108th and Cedar. It's an abandoned house. I kind of lost count. Let's see. I got some people on off of Eddie Road. It's a purple and gold church. I don't know the name of the street, but it's an abandoned house there. Let's see. 42nd and Payne. I got somebody there. I mean, that doesn't matter because I didn't keep score, but I'm gonna keep score today. But yeah, I'm about to have me some fun, I guess. And this shit is weird, man, because you know, I never been on no sucker shit like this, but fuck it, you know. Oh yeah, after I hit these people over here on St. Clair, I'm gonna start fucking with Greeks. I'm gonna just start randomly shooting Greeks in the head. Fuck it, I'm gonna
Greeks?
Target whoever.
Greeks,
I don't even
yeah.
give a fuck until I get caught. So yeah, I'll make some more videos of Blade, but this is what it is. So yeah, Steve Stevens, 37. The event that's about to happen within the next few minutes, you can blame it on her name is Joy Lane. It's all her fault. My mother too. Put her in there. Maggie Stevens, or Maggie Green, she goes by. It's her fault too, because she the one who created this fucking monster that I am. Yeah. So between them two. Alright, yeah.
Okay. And
nothing like just Facebook Murder Live.
Just so we can have a quick palate cleanser before our chat.
I wish I was a spaceman.
A little levity between the murder spree.
I'd fly okay.
around the universe
Yes, in Fireball XL5.
Oh, this is much better than something from Death Row Records.
Conquers of the sky.
I'm going on a murder spree. Oh, man. So, wow. This guy is supposedly still on the loose. I haven't heard that he's been apprehended yet. On a killing spree of, he admits to 13 so far, one confirmed. I'm sure by the time this podcast hits, there's going to be more all over the news about it, and we're going to learn more about Steve Stevens and I'm sure Joy and, you know, the situation that he was in. I mean, he's going to go down in history as one of the most popular mass murderers probably ever. I mean, he's going to go down with those guys who got full body armor out in California and went on that killing spree. He's going to go right down with that Texas shooter from the Bell Tower. This guy is going to go down as one of the probably the biggest, most popular mass shooting killers of all time.
Now the question is he going to eat his own bullet, or is he going to get shot by the cops?
I'm going to go with probably he's going to not suicide himself, but probably suicide by police is what he's going to do. I don't think he's going to fire at the cops. Maybe he does. I mean, he seems like the kind of guy who wants to go.
He says he's going to death row, which means.
Well, the thing is, he sounds like he's very, very coherent in what he's doing. He doesn't sound like a man who's been at his wit's end. He just sounds like a guy who's contemplated it for a long time. He's just like, you know, I've really wanted to murder a bunch of people, and this is it. And he's doing it.
He sounds like an angry black man.
He is a very angry black. I see. I don't know. I don't know what could drive me. You know, when they.
Oh, gosh.
The closest I probably ever got to being at that level is when they canceled Get a Life, and I got over it somehow. Somehow I was able to get over it.
The day that they stopped producing Zagnuts.
Yes. When Zagnuts.
I'm ready to kill everyone! You bring back Zagnut motherfuckers! You'll die in lakes of blood. Oh, there's still one more. Oh, I guess I'll eat this one and I won't murder everybody today.
But I don't know, like I've never been pushed to that ledge where I go on a straight up a killing spree. So
what is the angriest you've been at somebody?
Angriest I've ever been at somebody. I'm not sure. I've been disappointed a lot with people. I've been angry a lot. I mean, probably the most angry I ever got was when this Salisbury local, because I was still a good guy, I let him spend the night in my house, and he stole my PlayStation 2.
Ah.
That was me thinking I was being a good person and me basically just getting ripped off. That was a tough pill to swallow. I don't know. Being angry, though, getting jumped in sixth grade is up there. Sixth grade.
How many black guys was that?
Why do you assume they're black and their gender?
Because you told me.
No, yeah, I got jumped by a bunch of kids over by Oakland Mills when I was like in sixth. I was in eighth grade going into my freshman year of high school.
And how many blows do you think you took from them?
It was a lot. I got a good ass whooping. It was akin to you know, the soap scene from Full Metal Jacket where he got the blanket party. I would say I got that level of beating. I shielded my face for the most part, but I definitely, you peel my shirt off after that ass whooping and I looked like a rotten banana underneath there. It was just freaking bruises all wow. over my body. So I caught a pretty good ass whooping there.
What a major moment in your life, so you told me. But
well, you know what? I felt pretty. While it was a horrible day of my life, I felt relatively tough, because then I think that was the first time I was really punched in the face, and punched in the face a bunch of times. I realized, you know, getting punched in the face really isn't that bad, and I think it made me not nearly as scared to stand up for myself in the future.
You see all these other videos where people almost get punched in the face and they're just out of it. But you were taking it and you were taking it and you realize you're actually a tough kind of little kid.
I think I was. I've never been knocked out before. Well, I've had concussions in playing rugby and feel like I've blacked out in those situations. But I've never had somebody hit me so hard.
Dude, you told me that somebody roofied you. and didn't take you out.
I did. I did get roofied once, but that was a different... See, that's a whole different story all in and of itself.
But it's a good story because you took a hit for a chick that was going to get raped.
Well, it was... Here's the thing with that story. I'm going to take you back. I'm going to take you back in the time machine.
I think
this
deserves a little music.
I'll take you back in the time machine real quick. All the way back to the year 2004. And we'll just hop in the time machine. Oh, yeah.
Completely wrong music for this story, but I'll go with it. I'll go with it.
Technology. Transporting. Putting you back in a place.
Modems that can handle more than 14,000K baud.
56K? Like this could even handle it on this Commodore 64.
Just think of playing 2049er with your friend a thousand miles away.
So, me and the old... Me and the old rugby team, we went to Chapel Hill, right where Duke and North Carolina, recent NCAA champions, North Carolina, and we're down there, and we had played the rugby team. We won per usual because Salisbury rugby, we fucked shit up. We went to a place called the Players Club, and... I was there, and I was suave at the time. This is Eric, very dapper. I walked up to this young lady, and I said, "Hey, how's it going?" Blah blah blah. And she looked at me for a second, and went,
and then turned away. Knew you had it.
Turned away, and then set down her drink. So I grabbed her drink off of the table, and I started chugging it in front of her. And she goes, "Hey, put that down. Put that down. What the fuck?" And I chugged her drink in front of her after she blew me off, and I went, slammed it down, and went, "Fuck you," like that, and I walked away. And I legitly then blacked out and had a loss of time for about 6 hours. Okay. Wow. I came to, and I'm with my rugby buddies, and I realized that we are at a gay bar, or no, we're at a gay house party, because we're looking around and we walked into this house party. I'm like, "Man, there are a lot of dudes here. Wow, there's no sports on. Wow, that dude's making out with that dude. Okay." And we immediately got out. And that's when I came to. And I was like, "Dude, I legitimately don't remember what happened for about the last 6 hours." And he was like, "What the fuck was I doing?" He was like, "Honestly, you're probably the most agreeable you've ever been in our entire lives. We actually enjoyed being around you. You didn't talk much, and you just kind of, you know, went around. We gave you drinks, you drank them, and, you know, you're very easily suggestible." So I came to the conclusion, judging on my alcohol intake before then, and that is the last thing that I remember, that I legitimately drank a roofie that girl was going to drink. So I probably stopped that lovely lady in North Carolina from getting sexually assaulted. And for me, I just was a reasonable person for 6 hours because I have the ability to process drugs at that level. Basically, what I'm saying is my body, whether inadvertently or not, and my ability to be an asshole stopped rape.
Now, would you say you were on your heavier side then, or on your more fitter side?
No, I was on about in between. I was fitter. I was actually pretty fit at that time. Okay. I was pretty lean.
Because when rugby season starts, you're pretty darn heavy. The end of rugby season, you're skinny man, young man again. So
I was in pretty good shape at the time. Yeah, to be honest with you, I was in pretty
good shape.
Rugby,
man, makes you work your ass off.
So. Oh, it's so much work. Sweating just talking about it. Oh. So yeah, I stopped rape because I can do drugs. So, I don't like to brag, but you know, I'm a good guy. But yeah, this mass killer, man. I mean, he's out there. I mean, what do you think? How do you think it's going to end, Jeremy? Do you think it's going to end in suicide, or do you think he's going to be apprehended?
You know, he's a real talker. He's a real talker. I'd have to watch all the videos to make a call on it, but from what I hear. You know, he talks about the future, you know, death row, you know, he's looking for help. At the same time, he's murdering people for the fuck's sake of it. So, you know, it almost never goes good. Even, you know, I mean, he's not insane. He's just being an asshole and fucking shit. So, He's like, I'm gonna fuck shit up as much as I can. You know, I'm gonna go with a suicide.
You're gonna go with suicide. Now, suicide by his own hands or suicide at the hands of the police?
By his own hand, I think he's like, fuck it. That was what he already said. So it's like, make it as worse as you can and then try the easy way out.
The easy way. See, I don't know. Just watching his videos and seeing his eye, he definitely has that look of I don't give a fuck. But he honestly seems like a guy that I'd like to talk to. It's weird. Like he has a very like personable tone to him. You can tell that he's a social worker, so he talks to like the worst, you know, the worst off of the worst off in our society. So I'm kind of blown away by how.
And when you say that, you mean retards.
Yes.
Retarded kids. The worst off in society. Retarded children.
Yeah.
I'm a retarded children. I want to eat other retarded children.
I want crayons.
You're just evil.
So. To me, he looks...
Thank you. This hate is brought to you by Quality Time. So.
If I were to give my just observational two cents, and, you know, this, we're obviously going to learn more facts about this crime as it goes on. He seems like a gentleman who, as he describes himself, seems like somebody who always listens to other people's problems, who always is like the go-to and the rock for many other people. And, you know, when you're the rock for a lot of people, sometimes that can be a heavy burden. And when it all comes crashing down, you don't necessarily have somebody to lean on. And his person that he was leaning on sounds like she was a kind of cunty. So, you know, when you don't have a support system next to you, I don't want to blame this. And granted, this poor woman, Joy, she doesn't deserve to have a mass murdering spree as part of her guilt trip that she needs to live with. I mean, he's clearly lost his fucking mind, and she doesn't deserve that no matter what she did, even if she got him into gambling. If she did meth, it doesn't fucking matter. I mean, she doesn't deserve that. I'm just looking at it from a purely psychological standpoint. When you lose your fucking mind and you got nobody else to lean on and people consider you the rock and the most stable person, you know, what else can you really do when you're the guy that helps everybody else out? Which is what his situation sounds like so far.
You know, my life is really bad and things are going really bad. And... of course, my girl just left me, and, you know, things are going really bad, even my relationship. I'm just going to have to go on a murder spree. So I'm going to go on the biggest murder spree I can find. Oh, and look, and I'm going to do it on Facebook Live. Okay, that's great. So
I mean, those are things that people do who feel like they have been overlooked in their lives, right? If you feel like you've been overlooked, like you're not getting the proper attention that you need, if your needs aren't being met... he's acting out to me in a way that says this is the only way I can get the attention and to get my story out of what's happening is to do this heinous act, which is it's not the right way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning his actions, but that's what it sounds like at this point.
And I think with any psycho killer, you know, you expect for the what you hear on the news when all the shit they talk to you after it's over, it's like, yeah, he was a quiet man. And it's like, no, he's still on his murder spree and he's talking up a storm, you know, talking up the cops, giving up information and more than that. And it's like, you know, you look out for the real psycho killer, which goes on a quick flashbang, but it's like, yeah, he really was quiet until he was laughing up a storm during those murders.
Yeah.
He was having a great time. So,
well, I mean, the reason you go on a killing spree where you know you're going to get caught is for the attention part of it, right? Well, so he's doing it for an attention grab on the best platform that you can get attention, which is Crybaby Facebook. So if you're going to go on Crybaby Facebook and do that, then... I mean, it's clearly the biggest, most heinous way to get a cry for attention that you can.
Should we go back to the ministry song about being a thrill seeker? So
I'm not familiar with that tune.
It's the one with Scarface in it. with Robert Loggia laughing over
him. Oh, Robert Loggia? Robert Loggia.
The problem is with being a thrill seeker. Thrill seeker. Thrill seeker. Thrill seeker. Yes. Know your ministry songs from the 80s. Yes.
You know, when Robert Loggia died,
yes,
I always had this thing like, I wish he had videotaped like a final video to play for everybody.
Robert Loggia's final video.
And in my head, I wish he had, you know, gone through and thanked all the people that had been part of his life and, you know, the people he worked with. And when he's done everything, he's like, well, I said my piece to everybody. And I hope this brings Loggia to everybody in this in the place. So I did all that just for a Robert Loggia pun right
well,
there.
Well, you know, it could be worse because it could be pretty gross, much like Michael Gross.
Michael Gross is Michael Gross in Michael Gross grossing out.
The last time I saw Michael Gross, I said, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for going on the Tim and Eric show just to make a cheap joke about your name.
Yes.
And after you did that, did you say, can I have my check, please? Michael Gross. Yes.
Michael Gross.
What would we do, baby, without us? What would we do, baby? You know what kind of gun this is? This is the best elephant gun you can possibly own. Me and Reba, we're going on Tremor Hunt. Thank you, Michael Gross.
I think that's Michael Gross's best role is Tremors, right?
I think they're up to like Tremors 12 now, the Quickening.
Tremors 12, still shaken.
Tremors 12, The Force Awakens.
Wouldn't it be great if they, in the next Tremors movie, the only thing that could stop the tremors is somebody who can shake a certain frequency, and so their savior is Michael J. Fox, and they get to... They reunite Michael Gross and Michael J. Fox in a movie. They were like, quick, Michael.
I can't stop all these tremors. You can stop them, Michael. I mean, Johnny. So.
And he has to like basically come up to two giant like poles that look like the teleports for Phantasm, just shaking like this. And he holds onto him, and the vibrations that Michael J. Fox creates is what can stop the tremors.
I can't keep doing all these tremors. Yes, you can. You can make the tremors.
Do it.
And they bring back Angus Scrimm as a Muppet.
Yes, the tall man, Angus Scrimm from Phantasm.
Let's have
Absolutely.
A moment of silence for Angus Scrimm. Thank you. That was a moment of silence for Angus Scrimm. Not Angus Young, who is still rocking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad that his name is Young versus Scrimm, which sounds like old and death.
Yeah, you know? It's not a good name. It's not a good name.
Never name your kid Angus Death.
Change your name, you fuckwad. You dead piece of shit.
Don't live in Australia.
Yeah.
Fucking foreign countries.
I guess that's it. You know, we didn't get down through all the fun parts of the bachelor party, but you know what? I think that's a good show.
Some things stay in Ballmer. They didn't come back from Ballmer.
Sometimes when you go to Ballmer, you stay in Ballmer, and that's about it, hon. Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of Quality Time. Make sure you check us out on iTunes or Podbean. Give us a 5-star rating. We'd really appreciate that. Do we do a trivia question this week? A special trivia question?
Somebody never answered our trivia questions from the last.
Yeah, they're tough
questions.
Ones. Okay. Let me see if I can have a pretty good.
Don't make it easy.
I don't want to make it easy, but it'll be difficult, but not undoable. Okay, unanswerable.
Googleable?
Not ungoogleable. Okay. Name the actor who said this line. Okay, and this isn't going to be easy. Jeremy will know what it is, though. I know that. Jeremy will know. Name the actor who said this line. And my axe! That's all you get.
Too easy.
That's too easy for you.
No, it's 100% easy.
It's not. That, it's not super easy.
That is a... Somebody's going to get that one.
Well, if you get it, and you like our Facebook page, Quality Time Brothers. Actually, it's Quality Time with Eric
and Jer. Well, thank you for lowering the bar.
Listen, this free t-shirt is on me. First person to like our page and send us a direct message that says the answer to that question. What is the actor that says, "And my axe"? I will give you a hint. It is not Lord of the Rings. So if you can guess what
I think it's from The Matrix.
It's from The Matrix, yes.
I think that's one of the Smiths when he has an axe. So
if you can name that film and that actor, we will give you a free Pogo the Clown t-shirt. It says, "I was raped by Pogo the Clown," and it is a very good, high-quality t-shirt, 100% cotton and beefy
tee. The caveat which we always add is the free baggie of my own skin.
Free baggie of skin as well. Maybe that's why people aren't answering the question, is the free baggie of skin.
I'm pretty sure 99% that's the reason. James Finn, I think, knows every single one of these questions, but he's not like,
yeah,
oh, the bag of skin.
Bag of skin, not so much.
And even though I put in red letters in my own blood, "Don't send me the bag of skin," I know they're going to send me a bag
of
skin.
You know they are. You know they are.
And I'm going to have to wear my hazmat suit when this package comes to make sure that I throw it in the garbage without having to touch it or just barely handle it, like much like nitroglycerin that hasn't been, you know, moved in a box for like 10 years so that, like, the slightest movement will make it explode. So, just like in Sorcerer. No man will move that box. It's a suicide mission. So,
thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of Quality Time. Check us out on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Follow us on Podbean. Like our Facebook page, Quality Time with Eric and Jer. We are the Quality Time Brothers on Podbean and iTunes.
The new name.
Everything
Quality
else,
Time Brothers.
You can find all things Eric Woodworth on ericcomedy.com. You can find my Instagram. You can find my Facebook. You can find my Snapchat where I put some fire posts up there. And you can find Jeremy on.
When's your next murder mystery?
Next murder mystery is, actually, that would be in Jordan. I'm going to the country.
You're
of Jordan.
Not having a murder mystery in Jordan.
We're having a murder mystery. We're going
Schlegel
to sing for your
life.
Schlegel
is not going to Jordan.
Schlegel is not going. It'll be the fabulous Tommy Simbazo.
So
playing
out of the
lead
three
role.
Of you, you're going to put this whole entire show together, and you're going to play all the different parts.
No, it's going to be Tommy Simbazo, Sean Gabbert, myself, and Rob Mayer. We're going to put on the show. To you,
I don't believe you.
We are. You. Tommy's played the lead before. He does a great job. So check out any show dates for that. You can check out Die Laughing Productions. That is the website where Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, and Justin Schlegel we host our shows with the for the murder mystery. Thank you, and have a wonderful night.